And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Happy Monday, everybody. Pete and Nick back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. Coaching change talk here with Vancouver switching gears from Bruce Boudreau to Rick Tocchet. Nick, how's it going, man?
Not too bad. What a delivery of the week this weekend for Skip and the Vancouver Canucks finally announcing the news as we bring in waiver wire James to say hello for another week. What's going on, James?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, something that we kind of saw the writing on the wall and expected for a few weeks, lingered a little bit more than I think everybody expected it to, but they finally pulled the trigger on Boudreau and replace him up there, and I think it's something we kind of expected, but I don't know if we expected it to last as long as it did.
And they're pretty much out of playoff contention, so I don't really know what they're expecting rest of season-wise, but if there's any sort of improvement on the defensive end, maybe it could improve the goaltending stats for the team at large. The penalty kill is worst in the league, right, James? But when you look at Tocchet, what he did for years with not much talent offensively in the desert in Arizona, it's a renewed hope for him as a coach, no doubt. And maybe there's an opportunity here for some guys to improve their fantasy value with different usage. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are a couple of guys on this roster that Toc coached when he was in Arizona. You have Connor Garland and you have Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who are going to be familiar with this system. Obviously, Ekman-Larsson had a couple of really good seasons under Tocchet when he coached in Arizona. But I think the biggest potential beneficiary of this is Brock Besser. He's skating on that second line with Pettersson and Kuzmenko, who are having excellent seasons right now. Besser has obviously been linked to trade talks, so who knows what's going to happen there if he gets moved sometime around the deadline. But right now, you have to expect that this being probably their best line on paper outside of Miller and Horvat, that Besser is going to, you know, be somebody who could potentially take off in Tocchet's system with a little bit of an expanded usage. So those are three guys right there I kind of look at that could potentially benefit the most from this coaching change.
Another guy, James, who I think obviously was really, really effective under Gabby Boudreau was Andre Kuzmenko. And I think they really have a conundrum on their hands when it comes to a variety of different players. I mean, they've let it be known they're willing to trade everybody and their mother at this point in time. But you look at Kuzmenko, like I just love the upside in this player. The only thing I wonder about in general, guys, of Vancouver is like you bring in a defensive-minded coach. Are they going to try to overcompensate defensively now because they've stunk up the joint and they really haven't helped their goalies out, excuse me, under Gabby Boudreau?
Yeah, and I think that's always the question with the coaching change is how is the system going to affect what's in place right now? And we're kind of seeing it with a team like the New York Islanders who, you know, this season defensively, they're probably not as good. And obviously over the last month or so, the Islanders haven't really been offensively a bit there. But for the first couple of months under Lane Lambert, their offense was one of the top 12 or 15 in the league. Vancouver has a lot of firepower, and that's the thing with this team is they do have talent, and it's really all been on the back end. Obviously, missing Thatcher Demko for the better part of the last 2 months has really hurt them. Spencer Martin has not been good, and the defense is just completely flawed. It's probably one of the worst defensive cores in the league. So, yeah, I mean, with a guy like Tocchet coming in, I would expect them to clean up some stuff defensively, but I think he's also smart enough, especially when you listen to him and watch him on his coverage on TNT so far the last couple of years. He's smart enough to know that you don't want to, you know, touch something that's working. And I think their top six is working right now. It's just tweaking the rest of the lineup.
And Tocchet, yeah, one of the best examples of getting that exposure on national TV and then translating back into the coaching market in so many different sports. But yeah, I think also some blame needs to be put on the guy that used to be the GM, right? Jim Benning didn't really build a great roster defensively. If they do overcompensate, I like Demko whenever he returns. Yeah. I still think he is an upper echelon goalie, top 10, top 15. Got absolutely no support last year and was a star. And it's carried over again to this season. We saw what he did in the playoffs earlier in his career. That's a guy who's been out for about 6 weeks or so, hasn't played since early December. The timetable was 6 weeks, Nick. when this guy gets back. I mean, don't even wait for that long. Try to trade for him, stash him. I could see him put up some really good save percentage numbers for the rest of the season once he returns.
Especially in a keeper league. And I think you guys know, following on social, every year when coaches are fired, and we hate to see it, I do put out the numbers just to see if there's a boost. And more times than not, and this is the first firing of the season, if you can believe it now, almost into February, it's the first one. And there always seems to be an initial boost, but there seems to be a boost in general. And I think when you look at Vancouver, I think you're bang on. I think the likelihood of making the Stanley Cup playoffs, not really there, but can they be a sleeper in the second half is the big time question. I do think they had the personnel on that roster. We'll see what they do between now and March 3rd, but certainly Thatcher Demko, I think of all the players on that roster, I think with legitimate upside, especially under Rick Tocchet, James, has to be Thatcher Demko.
I agree, but I also think what you said a few minutes ago, Nick, is, you know, something that everybody has to watch out for. And that's the fact that, you know, Vancouver's management has pretty much let it known that, you know, they're willing to sell off anything that's not bolted down. I think the only player that they're probably not going to trade is Elias Pettersson. And I'd probably put Hughes and Demko as near untouchable unless you get like a insane offer. But you have to remember, Kuzmenko is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. He only signed the 1-year deal, and there's rumors that he wants, you know, $7 million a year based off of his production right now. So I don't know if they can afford that. They've fumbled everything with Bo Horvat right now, and they'll probably end up having to trade him. You know, and who knows, Besser as well has been the talk of trade rumors for the last 2 months, it seems, really since training camp almost. It feels like he's been talked about getting traded. So this team, and I think that they kind of do need to tear it down a little bit and go for a little bit of a rebuild. So it's going to be interesting to see how much of this Tocchet actually has to work with and how much rope he's going to get, because remember, Boudreau took over less than 2 years ago. They said they were going to give him a lot of rope, and then they really didn't, and they gave him a bad roster to work with.
Yeah, certainly that is the question and the conundrum when it comes to Vancouver Canucks. Moving ahead to the waiver wire list this week, boys, we'll start with, and Brock Besser is on the list, by the way, so we're not starting, but a name that there's a lot of intriguing names, because obviously we're in the time of season where more times than not, guys are picked up on the waiver wire already. There's not as much value, but a guy who I think is emerging, and Pete, we can start with your opinion, Anton Lundell, and you got some connects over at Yahoo. I think he's got to start pondering some left wing eligibility. It's got to be happening in the next couple of weeks, but I love the value on the top line with Barkov and Reinhardt, Pete.
I like the tweak by Paul Maurice. I mean, he had to do something, right? Like, he was the third line center last year. James Lundell was very productive, had a great plus minus. You still see the Florida Panthers, you know, since January 1st, this looks like an elite offense again. And all season long, really, their shot generation was still pretty strong. They've just had bad goaltending, bad defensive play, injuries, not as much forward depth as last year. But yeah, I really like Anton Lundell for the rest of the season. Pick him up now. He'll probably gain a position, and then you'll be in good hands the rest of the way.
Yeah, I was a big Lundell fan last year. Obviously came in, had a really solid rookie season. I think a lot of people forget he was fifth in rookie scoring last year, 44 points. Actually had more points last season than Cole Caulfield did. Obviously, we know the big second half that Caulfield had under Marty St. Louis after he took over in Montreal. But, you know, Lindell in a third line role last season, putting up those kind of numbers, and missed some time too, only played about 65 games. So he easily could have hit 50 points last season as a rookie had he played the entire year. But I love this wrinkle. I love putting him on that line with Sasha Barkov and with Reinhardt. Reinhardt obviously hasn't lived up this season to, I think, what everybody expected him to do based off of the last couple of years. And obviously Matt Tkachuk is kind of holding down his own on the second line there with no help. So this is really an opportunity for Lindell to kind of explode. But I agree, Nick, we got to call the guys over at Yahoo and say, all right, guys, you got to start considering giving him a little bit of dual eligibility here, because we need that line of flexibility right now.
Make that call, Pete. Make that call, please.
Throw us a bone here, right?
I reached out to Scott Pianowski. He's working on it behind the scenes as we speak. Scott Pianowski is on the case, Peter.
Bobby, oh, my God. Whose voice is that?
It's the voice that everyone's been clamoring to hear. And it's the voice that when the show needs to be shaken up a little bit, all right, needs to be thrown into the snow globe, it needs to be heard. So, you know, stand by. There's more to come. I got a lot to say. And we might have to go back to Talk It, okay, in a moment. You know, maybe at the end of the show when we say goodbye to James, because I have a lot to say about Talk It.
Sounds good. Always great to hear Bobby's voice. But James, you also mentioned Cole Caulfield out for the season. That kind of came out of nowhere. Good effort, resilient effort by the Canadians over the weekend to beat the Leafs. But that's just a tough situation, right? Do you see much fantasy value, even garbage time for Montreal the rest of the way? I know you have their goaltender, Samuel Montembeau, on your list. That might catch people by surprise. Like, why would you want a Canadiens goaltender? But he's been decent this year.
Yeah, Montembeau has really stepped up, especially with Allen hurt. But you look at that lineup right now, and it's, you know, it's just devoid of talent. Josh Anderson on that first line. They have Rem Pitlick slotted in Caulfield's place with Nick Suzuki on the right side there. Kirby Dach, obviously having a little bit of an underrated season, but, you know, playing on that second line, not really getting much support there. Mike Hoffman on that lineup. So, you know, this is a tough team, but if you're in a league, especially, you know, a saves league, you know, you want a guy who's going to get a high shot volume against him right now, definitely look at Sam Montembeau. He has stepped in and he's just been, you know, what he's been his entire career so far. Obviously, we know those few years that he was in Florida, he stepped in and had some really solid appearances. A 9.11 save percentage right now in 20 games on this team is pretty eye-popping. And when you look at, you know, his recent run, he's won, I think it's 4 of his last 6 starts. You know, he's faced, he's made 35 or more saves in 5 of his last 7 starts. So again, if you're, you know, in one of those leagues that counts save percentage and that counts, you know, saves, this is a guy that's going to get you a lot. And it's somebody who's worth streaming every time he starts right now, just because he's going to give you numbers like that.
I call that Operation Connor Bedard. And to that point, I think I would start looking at some unders for Montreal Canadiens games, because they got to tighten things up, as producer Bob Bender would say here on the podcast. So certainly I would look at the unders. I think from an offensive point of view, I probably have to fade on Montreal. That's a tough blow for Nick Suzuki's fantasy stock to lose Cole Caulfield. I think short term, there is a game for Josh Anderson, who potentially could be on the move between now and the trade deadline. So I love your lists every week, guys. But this week in particular, the pride of Burford, Ontario, the red hot Adam Henrique of the Anaheim Ducks, 9 points over a 5-game point streak, 5 goals, 4 assists. I think you ride him while he's hot. Trevor Zegras is another guy, James, I would look at on the Anaheim Ducks right now.
Well, Zegras is obviously their key piece right there. And he had a great game over the weekend, 2 goals against the Sabres. By the way, aren't the Sabres undefeated still when they're wearing the black jersey and they've scored 6 goals in every game? Is that still, like, I mean, they should wear that every game. Just make that the permanent jersey. I mean, they've been unstoppable when they've worn that jersey. But, you know, Zegras looked great in that game. Henrique obviously coming into form as of late. We know the kind of producer that he can be, you know, dating back to his days when he was with the Devils. He's on a run right now, and it's something that you should absolutely be tapping into. And he's playing on that top line. I think it's with Mason McTavish, who's been coming on as of late as well. And he has a pretty solid schedule coming up. Obviously, 3 games this week, 2 of them against Arizona and 1 of them against Colorado. Colorado starting to play a little bit better, but still defensively susceptible. So if you're looking for a really, really solid stream who's widely available right now in over 90% of leagues, you have to be looking at Adam Henrique for the next 3 games. Super favorable schedule going into the break, and obviously he's got the production backing it up right now.
Yeah, Henrique has been Nick's boy for a long time, so get a piece in fantasy while you still can. I know the Ducks are a bad team, but he puts up sneaky offense and has some good category coverage where all of a sudden he could be a top 150, 200 player in the league and be valuable down the stretch. Yeah, I was just looking, James, 5 more dates, I think, of the Sabres black and red. Now the Bills are out, so, you know, zero in on those black and red jerseys whenever they're playing and roll them out in DFS and stuff like that. And then wanted to mention, James, we've also talked about UPL for Buffalo the past couple of months, you know, here and there. Then he got sent down. But now, I mean, that game the other day on Ryan Miller night, shades of Ryan Miller at the tail end of that game. And then, of course, they won it in overtime. But he robbed the Islanders from a regulation victory that they really needed. And I thought it was a really impressive effort by the kid. And maybe he becomes the clear goaltender for them. Even if they miss the playoffs, they're charging down the stretch. They're a fun team to watch with a lot of offensive support. And I would pick up UPL if he's still out there.
I'm a huge Luukkonen fan, have been for a while. Still head-scratching that Buffalo let Linus Ullmark walk a couple of years ago, especially when you see the numbers that he's putting up in Boston. But, you know, his underlying numbers when he was in Buffalo were excellent. So, you know, UPL was the next guy behind Ullmark, and he's still raw. They still need to fix some things defensively, but I do see a future there for Luukkonen. I just think they need to get him a little bit more help. I don't think that team is near where they need to be. But it's kind of the same thing as Sam Montembeault. I think he's going to give you flashes of brilliance, lots of saves. He's going to get more wins, obviously, than Montembeault. But, you know, I don't see him having, you know, under a 3 goal against right now, probably hovering around about a 900, 905 save percentage for the rest of the season, just because, you know, that team still is defensively flawed and still has some pieces missing. But futures, I'm a big UPL fan.
I love those overs when it comes to the Buffalo Sabres. And sometimes it's all about change of scenery. I think that's honestly what happened with Linus Ullmark as well. And not too shabby when you have that Boston Bruins team in front of you. But Pavel Zacha is another guy with the Bees having I guess you can call it a breakout season, but James, I think he's a perfect example of somebody who just needed a change of scenery, and he's finding his way now with the Bees.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys, especially all those years that he was in New Jersey, that everybody kind of expected just more out of him, and whether it was, you know, the team around him, the system, just not giving him the opportunity, you know, whatever it was, it's obviously easier to produce when you have a guy like David Pastrnak on your line, and you know, David Krejci comes back, and obviously they're all compatriots, they're all countrymen from the Czech Republic, so you know they've played together before on the international level. They're friends. They have a comfort level with each other, and you know you see them out on the ice, and they kind of just know where the other one is, and it's just natural between the three of them. So, you know, I've always been a Zacha fan. I've always wanted to see him hit that next level. And I think this year he's going to. I mean, right now he's 2 assists away from setting his career high. He's in that category. He's 7 points away from setting his career high in that category. And he's only played 46 games. So, you know, we have another 36 games left in the season. And I think that he easily is going to hit probably about the 50 to 55 point mark. He's tri-eligible, center, left wing, right wing, and Yahoo. So that gives him even more value because of the lineup flexibility. And he's less than 25% rostered. So absolutely, when you look at who he's playing with and his eligibility, you got to go pick him up.
Tack on Matt Grizzlick to that list as well, if you're just looking to find exposure to the Bruins any way you can. This team never loses. When they do lose, then they win the next like 7 or 8 games after that. So they're not slowing down at all. Matt Grizzlick very quietly tied for 6th in the NHL in plus minus with plus 27. Hampus Lindholm leads the league in that category. The Boston Bruins, Nick, have the best goal differential in the entire league by almost double, plus 81. Next best team, plus 43, the Dallas Stars. So this is the Bruins' season to bounce back and really pace the league in many different categories. It's been incredible to watch.
It really is surreal, especially guys, when you look at how people were predicting and prognosticating Boston to look like this season, especially without Marchand, especially without McAvoy to start the year. Well, McAvoy could be a contender for the Norris. Marchand's been incredible. We talked about the value going into this season that he could potentially come back early, and he has. And the goaltending's been really good. And I think on top of that, Jeremy Swayman started to find his game too, which is even scarier. So if you get by Ullmark, then here's Jeremy Swayman. And that's the intriguing thing as you get closer to the playoffs is how they deploy their goaltenders. But certainly, I think from a fantasy point of view, James, just so much value in the Boston Bruins. We talked about Zacha. We talked about Grizzlick. There's just so many different guys. And on top of that, I think there's you know, the opinion out there that they're going to add at the deadline. Last year, obviously, was a guy like Lindholm. I think they're going to add a bona fide stud there in the top six. That's my feel, at least.
Well, with DeBrusque out for a while now, it kind of would be the perfect time for them to, you know, go out and try and add somebody. Obviously, we know about Patrick Kane and his issues, so we don't know really where his trade value is right now. I don't know if they could go out and make it and swing a deal for a guy like Timo Meier. You know, he would probably, that'd just be scary to be able to add a guy like Meier to that lineup. But I think that they will go out and try and add a piece to that top six. Obviously, depending on how long it's going to take the Brust to get back. But I mean, the Bruins are a wagon, and you just got to hitch to that wagon right now any way that you can. If you can tap into that top six, that top nine, you know, Swayman obviously is, as you know, probably the best backup in the league right now. There's just so much value there. So yeah, absolutely. Hammer the Bruins any chance that you can get.
James, before we let you go, wanted to touch on big injury news from tail end of last week. Max Pacioretty, unfortunately, another Achilles injury, probably done for the season. And it's just tough because we looked at Carolina as adding him, final piece to the puzzle type of thing. Now they go back to the drawing board. They can make a move at the trade deadline if they want to. But for right now, it's Sebastian Aho with his usual buddies, Teuvo Teravainen and Seth Jarvis on the top line. Do you like either or both of them? I know some of them are floating around in fantasy leagues, and maybe, you know, not to say they're going to benefit from this situation, but certainly they're going to get more exposure to Aho for the rest of the season now that Pacioretty is out.
Yeah, I'd probably like Teravainen a little bit more than Jarvis, just because, you know, he's got the pedigree, and obviously he is a three-game point streak right now, had two assists over the weekend against the Islanders, where Aho had the hat trick. He's got points in five of his past six games. So he's slotted right onto that line and in position of Pacioretty. So if I'm going one of the two of them, I trust Teravainen a little bit more. I think he's one of the more must-add guys, only 51% rostered. So, you know, he's still pretty widely available. You know, Jarvis is fine kind of as a spot guy, but the guy I'm putting my trust in more, especially with the history with Aho, is going to be Teravainen.
Yeah, it's a tough loss. You guys know how I feel about Max Pacioretty. I love him. James, you know how I feel about you. Thank you so much for this. Appreciate it.
Always, guys. I'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks.
So, Nick, we have talked a lot about the Vancouver Canucks in this show. Let's talk about one former Canuck before we get your thoughts on this whole situation. Jalen Chatfield, you know, a cast off from that group, is playing really well right now for the Carolina Hurricanes, who we were just talking about, one of the strongest teams in the entire league, and a little exposure to Brent Burns never hurt anybody, right?
Yeah, Canucks fans must love that when one of their former players who couldn't stick is hacking it somewhere else. But it just seems like everybody who goes to Carolina finds their way. Like, the Brent Burns addition has been really, really good. So yeah, if you can tap into anybody on that blue line, especially from a DFS point of view, I think Chatfield would be the guy I'd go after. But you brought up Vancouver. What an absolute disaster and PR nightmare with that team for like the last 3 months, 4 months, 4 years, 5 years. Like, it's just been an utter disaster, you know, dating back to Jim Benning and before. Look at the track record of this organization for like the last decade. It is scary. So I'm very intrigued to see what Rick Tocchet can do midseason, coming in, replacing just a fan favorite like Bruce Boudreau. I hated to see him cry like several times this week. It was just a weird, weird situation.
Yeah.
And I just wonder internally what the response is from that team. Lucky for them, we think they have a soft spot in the schedule. They take the Chicago Blackhawks on in the first game under Rick Tocchet. But I think you look at the numbers, Pete. Goals per game, 10th. Power play, 14th. We talked earlier about defensively. I think that's going to be the biggest improvement you would think under Rick Tocchet. Goals against, 31st, Pete. Penalty kill, 32nd. So I think if there's one avenue to tackle, I think long-term with Vancouver and fantasy hockey, again, it could be Thatcher Demko, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, really, they have to channel that frustration, that emotion into the defensive end and into the puck possession. They're also a They're also a bottom 10 team in puck possession shot attempts percentage this season. That's not going to cut it. Again, a couple years ago, we were looking at this young core of the Canucks and saying, you know, this is a team that we can envision getting back to the Stanley Cup final and maybe triumphing someday, like that the other team, right, the Sedins team and the Kessler team, you know, could never do in 2011. So it's just disappointing to see such a young core kind of getting wasted right now. So they have to retool. I think maybe it was a bit of a mistake to give such a big money deal to JT Miller. He's come down a little notch this year and he's making huge money. And it's just like, they don't need more forward help. They need defenseman help. I mean, it's an abyss right there right now. Even Quinn Hughes, he's not a defensive defenseman. And that's the only glimmer they have.
It is comical to me. Number one, how every day they trot out there and talk about, yeah, we need money, we need cap space, we need this, we need that. And then the next day they're like, yeah, we're still looking to re-sign Bo Horvat. You just gave a ridiculous contract to JT Miller. Kuzmenko, let's re-sign him. I think if you're looking to free up cap, and I do think Kuzmenko is the perfect example, that's the one guy I'm trading. He's found money. Yeah. You signed him to a one-year contract in the offseason. You hit gold, obviously, with him. I think you take the assets and you run. I just think if you keep complaining about how you have no cap space and nobody wants to pick up your players, create cap room with an asset like Kuzmenko, you would think most teams more times than not would at least take a flyer on and give you the value you're looking at. So from that aspect, I just think it's been handled terribly PR wise. And again, from, you know, Rutherford to Alvin and everybody involved, like just utilizing the media in the wrong way, I think the last little while. So Vancouver is a team of intrigue in fantasy hockey. The Pacific Division in general, Pete's been an absolute zoo, an absolute gong show. And I'm looking forward to that Johnny Gaudreau revenge game, by the way, on Monday night. Nobody's talking about it because Columbus stinks, right? Like nobody's talking about Johnny's return to Calgary. That was the biggest, you know, apart from the trade story last offseason, but nobody's talking about it because Columbus is going to be in the Bedard sweepstakes, right? But we're looking forward to that. The Edmonton Oilers are on fire. And I wanted to ask you about the Vegas Golden Knights. So as you know, working with me on this podcast now for more than a year now, I have a lot of hot takes. And my hot take in the offseason was that the Vegas Golden Knights were going to miss the Stanley Cup playoffs. And granted, I was not feeling great about that in the first half. I am coming around to the idea because, man, do they miss Mark Stone or what?
Yeah, he's still week to week. We haven't heard that much. What we have heard is that they keep dropping a lot of games that they should be winning, right? Especially at home. Look at their road record this year. They're an elite team. Their home record, they're barely over 500. They're like 14-13, something like that. They dropped a game 4-1 to the Coyotes the other day. They lost to the Red Wings recently. They lost to, you know, some good teams like Edmonton and Dallas, but the LA Kings, they got blown out against. They lost to the Anaheim Ducks in a shootout. I mean, this is very alarming. I know, you know, Coach Cassidy's been a little critical of Jack Eichel, but he hasn't had a ton of help when Stone's out of the lineup. So it's tough. I mean, I still think Vegas is a playoff team, but when you see that regression from Logan Thompson, remember early in the year, right, Nick? Like he was a stud and yeah, Nobody really expected him to be performing at that level. Take him down from a 925, 920 to 915, 910. Yeah. And all of a sudden you see some glaring weaknesses in the team.
Yeah, it really is fascinating. I should mention as well, the plus 360 on the anytime goal for Phil Kessel, revenge goal against Arizona. Thank you very much. And where in the world's Jack Eichel? I think we have to start a reality show. You know, I love reality TV. Jack Eichel is in that lineup. They picked him up to be a bona fide stud, top 25 fantasy star. Pete, where is the guy? Can you tell me?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. He's obviously an all-star caliber player. He's near point per game this season, but you're not seeing the explosiveness that you saw from him earlier in his career. Yeah. And he was a one-man show for very many years with the Buffalo Sabres. And now he's still probably their best player on paper, but he's getting outperformed this year in many stretches of the season by a guy like Chandler Stephenson. And yeah. I'm not so sure that Jack Eichel maybe is a top 25 player in the NHL anymore. Maybe he's 26 through 50, which isn't half bad, but we need to see more of this guy fully healthy and some more support around him. But it just doesn't seem like he could carry a team quite like he did in Buffalo for those years, offensively at least. Didn't carry them to the playoffs. That's a different story for reality conversation, but yeah, Jack Eichel needs to do more for Vegas to maintain their position in the Pacific.
I tell you, they're in trouble, man. He has never played a postseason game and they are fluttering beyond control. And it just shows you, Mark Stone, his importance to that roster. Speaking of which, the Florida Panthers, Pete, the last couple weeks have started surging a bit up the Eastern Conference standings. I think this is expected. I still wonder long-term if it's sustainable to keep winning and winning. They got to continue to do this. But Sergei Bobrovsky gets hurt, lower body injury. Alex Lyon, we love these stories. And I do think, to a degree, Phoenix Copley gets a win against Chicago on Sunday, but he's turning into a pumpkin. I guess Alex Lyon could be the next Phoenix Copley. Two wins in a row. He'll start against the New York Rangers tonight. That said, I'm always intrigued. So Bobrovsky gets hurt. All of a sudden, Spencer Knight is ready to go. Like, where has this guy been for like 3-4 weeks? Now, all of a sudden, Bobrovsky gets hurt. Yeah, Spencer Knight's good to go. But it's going to be Alex Lyon. I think he's a fascinating look against the New York Rangers. He's had a pretty good season. I looked up his numbers in the AHL. He's 30 years of age. I think externally, if you're looking for replacement options short-term, it sounds like for Bobrovsky, Pavel Francouz, Daniel Vladar, who in my opinion, I think at this point in time, Calgary has to run with, and Philip Gustafson with the Minnesota Wild.
Florida has some big games coming up this week. They play the Pittsburgh Penguins tomorrow. That's like a playoff, you know, not a playoff preview, like a battle That's for huge. The last playoff spot. It's really important for Florida. And it sounds like whether it's Monday or Tuesday, Spencer Knight is close enough, like you said, to make an appearance. They really need him. The goaltending hasn't been great when healthy, and now they've been both banged up, Bob and Spencer Knight. So, yeah, Alex Lyon, back-to-back wins, maybe worth the stream just because Florida has, like I said, one of the best power plays, one of the best goals per game since January 1st. So it's one of those things. The urgency is there. You're starting to see different guys step up under Paul Maurice. And, you know, maybe he needed a little time to develop chemistry on certain lines, but I know Sam Bennett got banged up the other day as well, and Aaron Ekblad. So those are storylines to watch. The longer Florida tries to sustain this winning ways, you know, they're going to need players of that caliber, Bob, Knight, Bennett, and Ekblad. I mean, if a couple of those guys are out for any extended stretch, I don't know that they can keep this up.
I love the second half too. It always separates the pretenders from the contenders. I think even from a betting point of view, I think you start to look a lot more at those favorites and the teams who need the points as opposed to the ones who are the spoilers trying to chase a bit. So definitely a strategy I would look at. Just to brush up on Pacioretty and the Caulfield injury, some replacements there. Trevor Zegras, Ricard Raquel has been hot with Pittsburgh. Scott Laudon of Oakville, Ontario with the Philadelphia Flyers. Carter Verhaeghe and Anton Lundell with Florida. In general, Pete, as you know, laying out the schedule for this week, 50 games in total, the four-game teams to hunt in terms of the waiver wire, Boston, Buffalo, Columbus, Florida, the Islanders, and Toronto. And the two teams I would stay away from in terms of depth adds is Edmonton and Nashville. They just played twice this week.
Yeah, you mentioned Buffalo. I know the Bills got eliminated in stunning fashion yesterday, but the Sabres are playing really well the past couple of months. And wanted to give a shout out. Victor Olofsson has been scoring big goals for this team. He's got 6 in his past 6. He's got 21 on the season. That's 3rd on the team. 2nd in even strength goals per 60 on Buffalo. And also, if you're playing spot starts and matchups, look at Victor Olofsson. Anytime the Sabres are playing at home, he's got like more than 3/4 of his goals this season on home ice. He's got 16 home goals. That's among the league leaders very quietly. So it's a matchup dependent stat, but something to keep an eye on, especially if you're looking to replace an injured Pacioretty or a Cole Caulfield or somebody like that.
I would call him Justin Verlander, your boy with the New York Mets. You know why? Because he's Cy Young, 21 goals and 6 assists for 27 points, Pete. He is very goal heavy as Victor Olofsson.
Yeah, that's why they call him that nickname. But and he also gets it done regardless of lineup placement. You know, sometimes he plays with Cousins on the second line. Sometimes he doesn't. He's not a part of the top line anymore, unfortunately, but a very, very productive player. And then one other guy, JT Compher, that's kind of been middling for a long time. He finds himself in a great position. He's on our waiver wire list this week as well. He's playing with Nichushkin and Mikko Rantanen more times than not lately. I mean, those are two elite players, and he's been producing point per game over the past couple of weeks. So that's one of the things, like Colorado's starting to cook, as you like to say. I like that phrase. I've been stealing it a couple of times, and it definitely applies to JT Compher here.
I love the skepticism like a month ago that Colorado was going to be doom and gloom. They're going to miss a stand. I don't think so. They have They're here. They're here to stay here in the second half. From a betting point of view, it's hammer time on that puck line, dude. I've hit like 4 or 5 games in a row. And speaking of which, to wrap, so I reference it, the Johnny Gaudreau revenge game, there's going to be some boo birds out. I think it overshadows, I think, the 10th meeting between the Islanders and the Leafs coming up on Monday night, another JT revenge game. But I'm looking forward to seeing how Scotiabank Saddledome is for that game. I know Columbus has been bad. The Jackets took the first meeting earlier on this season. So I'm hammering the Calgary Flames tonight at home against Johnny Gaudreau and the Columbus Blue Jackets, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they don't even need to say it. They don't even need to boo him. He knows that, not that he made the wrong decision. He knows that, you know, the implication of his decision is that the Blue Jackets have the fewest points in the entire NHL. Mm. Pretty crazy stuff. But yeah, keep an eye out. Sounds like Vladimir Tarasenko could return soon. Rupe Hintz, same deal. The Penguins got Tristan Jarry and Jeff Petrie back the other day. Petrie has had some really nice fantasy production, 2 assists in 2 games. He's had 6 shots on goal, or 8 shots on goal and 9 hits. So really productive there. Even when Letang eventually comes back, I think Jeff Petrie is worth a look, and he's only about 50% rostered. So good category coverage and an underrated offseason signing, right? You were talking about Zaka earlier. You love when that happens, when a guy gets completely overlooked in fantasy and then is just quietly doing his damage after a change of scenery.
Yeah, this is pretty much to wrap. This is pretty much why they picked up Jeff Petrie from Montreal, is to provide insulation for Chris Letang, who's finally back after dealing, obviously, with some tough issues personally in his family, and we wish him the best. Ty Smith's been another guy who had been asked about a lot lately. He's been providing some coverage on the back end. Pittsburgh's just a tough team, I think, to quantify in fantasy hockey. They win some, they lose some. They're hot now again. So, yeah, Petrie's a guy I would look at, certainly, Pete, as we tie a bow on this puppy.
Yeah, looking forward to the NHL Action Network collab. I'll be recording that later today, so check out that for sure. And, Nick, we'll talk to you again on Thursday, man.
Sounds good.
And that'll be, of course, a mailbag edition. This edition, thanks again to James Harding for hopping on. NHL Fantasy on Ice, of course, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And we'll talk to you on the other side. For Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, so long.